Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in 1 Corinthians as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Then it says this, "For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." That first part is pretty easy to understand, all right? Because it says it's pretty self-explanatory. "For no man understands him." Of course they don't, because they don't know that language. I have no idea what he's saying. But this next one needs a little bit of explanation. "Howbeit, but in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." In other words, this individual who's speaking in this unknown tongue, he's speaking mysteries. Interesting. The word mysteries means something that is hidden or a secret thing. It's a mystery. It's unknown. It's secret. It's hidden. And it's talking about the secret. The speaker's spirit is speaking something that's not known. It's strange. Anything, by the way, anything done in the spirit of man cannot be seen or known openly by others. Let that sink in. Anything done by the spirit of man cannot be seen openly or understood by others, because it's in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. We see the flesh. I can't look at Robert, thank the Lord, and see his spirit or what he thinks or why he thinks. His soul, I can't look into that. Only God can do that. And that's what this verse is really is saying to us. Anything done in the spirit of man cannot be seen or known openly by others. The language of an unknown tongue cannot be seen or understood by others. It's a mystery to them. To the hearers, the speaking is a mystery or mysteries which they cannot understand. It's strange to them. Such speaking would only bring confusion. And we find in verse number 33 of this same chapter, turn me to verse number 30, look in verse number 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Let me just read. Let's go up and I got time. Look at verse number 27. He's talking about this thing about speaking in tongues and how it's so confusing to the church. All right. We'll get a little more detail when we get to this section of scripture. "If any man speaking in an unknown tongue," remember that at this point of time, some almost 2,000 years ago, "let it be by two or at most by three." In other words, no more than two or three are allowed to speak in an unknown tongue in that assembly. And that by course, in other words, it's in order. What you see done today isn't even biblical. Everybody standing up and speaking in tongues. The Bible says no, only two or three at the most. And then if you don't do it, it has to be in order, one after another. And then it says this, another qualifier, "and let one interpret." So somebody was speaking in an unknown tongue, in a Filipino language, we would have no idea. Somebody would stand up and interpret that Filipino language. Somebody else would stand up and speak Swahili. We would not know somebody. Say, you get the picture. Okay. Then the next verse. "But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church." Don't be speaking in tongues if there's no interpreter. Why? It causes confusion. Let's read a little bit farther. "Let him speak to himself and not to God." And to God. Keep it to yourself. Let's go a little farther. Look at verse number 34. I can't wait to get to that point. "Let your women keep silent in churches." Again, the subject matter is speaking in tongues. It's not talking about testifying. It's not talking about, you just punched your wife.
She hit me.
I saw that.
She hit me.
He's not talking about testifying. Women testify what Jesus did for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he's speaking of is talk about women. You are not to be speaking in tongues at church. Question. I'm not ever involved in it, but I see this all the time. I hear about it, read about it, see it on. Who speaks in tongues most of the time in churches today is women. Just it's an amazing thought. They completely violate these scriptural rules, if you will, of how to do it properly if it was done, if it was in vogue today, and they don't even follow these rules, okay? Let's go back to verse number 22. Again, about speaking in tongues and the confusion it takes. That makes, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." I'll get that later. "But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church were to come together in one place," they're having a worship service, "and all speak with tongues, And there comes in those that are unlearned and unbelievers. They have no idea what their language is, what this language is, is what it means to unlearn. They don't know that language. Or they're lost. They're unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad? Those people down at the church at Corinth, they're crazy, man. That's exactly what Paul said. I went to that church to worship on a Sunday. I couldn't understand anything they were saying. They're crazy down there. I ain't going back down there. And God is not the author of confusion. And so that's why he lays this out back out in verse number 2 about this thing. He that speaks in the unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh these mysteries. It's unknown. People can't understand. It is doubtful that the Spirit of God will bring about such speaking that it might be a prideful show of the flesh. And that's what Paul was addressing. These Corinthian believers were prideful because God had endowed many of them with the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue. And they became arrogant. They became prideful about it. And Paul was warning them about that. Verse number 3. But he that prophesieth, that who is revealing God's revelation to the people, God has spoken to him. Now this is a little different. It's much different than preaching. A lot of preachers today, even some commentators, and you know what a commentator is? They're commentators, and I read these books. I'll leave that one alone. But anyway, they compare prophesying with preaching today. They're two completely different words, two completely different meanings. What I'm standing up here doing today, I'm not prophesying. I am proclaiming God's word, and it is written. I'm not forth-telling. I'm not revealing something that God has told me, and then I'm telling you, except what I've learned through God's word. So there's a vast difference between what Paul's talking about here about prophesying and preaching. So don't get those confused. Even a lot of preachers today put them on the same level. This gift of prophesying was a supernatural gift. To preach, it is a call of God on your life, but you just don't get up in the pulpit and start blabbering. A lot of people do that, just got diarrhea in their mouth and they don't know when to stop, okay? You have to study. You have to study. So it's not a supernatural gift. Even though God does call you, God does endow you with certain gifts, it's not what we call supernatural gifts. Anyway, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. I'm so sorry. And exhortation and comfort. In contrast to speaking in an unknown tongue, prophesying benefits the whole congregation. It's beneficial to all. By the way, I want to include preaching. It's beneficial to all. It did three things. Not only did prophesying do three things, preaching today does these same three things. And that's why a lot of great men compare the two as the same, even though they're different gifts, different callings, different supernatural, different gifts. They still accomplish the same three things. Number one, edification. The word edification means to build up. It's to increase a man's knowledge of Christian truth and his ability to live a Christian life. Let me stop there for just a minute where it talks about he that prophesies speaks to the men to edification. It's one thing to know the truth. It's quite another thing to apply it to your life and put it into practice. That's what it means to edify, to build up. You have a foundation, but it's not enough just to have a foundation of truth. You have to build up upon that, and you put these things into practice in your life. And so that's the purpose of not just prophesying. That's the purpose of today's preaching. When we teach and when we proclaim God's word, the purpose is to edify the believer.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Do you have any questions or comments for Pastor Lanier? You can submit your remarks and questions to Dr. Walt Lanier by visiting westwoodgospeltime.com. That's westwoodgospeltime.com. Pastor Lanier will receive your questions or comments and answer you. That's westwoodgospeltime.com. And click on Send a Message. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.